What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates, and I am Bart Winkler. Phone number 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Big game tonight that has gone final in the NBA. The Knicks in overtime beat the Celtics. The top story there, I guess two of them. Knicks were down 20, they came back. Celtics were 15 of 60 from three. They missed 45 threes. No one's ever done that before in the playoffs. That's bad. Jason Tatum, pretty bad from three tonight. 4 of 15. Jaylen Brown, worse. 1 of 10. Halftime just concluded in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder have a 10-point lead, 60 to 50, over the Nuggets, make it 62 to 50. In the NHL tonight, we've got game one of a series underway. Florida giving it a nice effort in the third period, but the Toronto Maple Leafs win 5-4 to kickstart that series. All the other series in the second round are set. This is the first one to kick off tonight. Tomorrow we'll have the Capitals and Hurricanes, and the Golden Knights and the Oilers. And then the following night, Wednesday, we'll have the Winnipeg Jets against the Dallas Stars, as those games were settled over the weekend. So we had a bunch of Game 7s this weekend. Very excited for it on Friday. Looking forward to some of these games. And if you're an NHL fan, you were probably more entertained than if you were an NBA fan. In the NBA on Saturday night, the Denver Nuggets beat the Clippers 120 to 101. The fourth quarter of that game was kind of the bench will take care of things for the most part. James Harden losing another game 7. And the coach, Ty Lue, falling in another big spot there as well. Denver advancing. That's why they're playing the Thunder here tonight. On the ice, you saw the Dallas Stars have a big third period and beat Colorado 4-2. So a tough night for Denver fans. They had two things to kind of pay attention to. The Nuggets did get a win. Then after that, they could kind of focus on the Avalanche. But then right when they turned that on, the Stars started scoring a bunch of goals. And it was a bunch of goals, three of them, from Mikko Rantanen, who was traded from Colorado to Dallas. So, kind of poetic there for Dallas fans and for him. But that's what happened on Saturday night. Sunday, kind of a similar thing. In the NBA, you had a game that wasn't as entertaining. The Golden State Warriors beating the Rockets 103-89. Having a lead for most of the game, Rockets kind of coming back, but they really just could not match the firepower of Buddy Hield, who had 9 threes in this game for 33 points, leading the way for Golden State. And then on the ice, the game between the Jets and the Blues, I talk a lot about my sports teams and really not even a lot about them, but when I do talk about them, I talk about the crippling losses that they have. When I talk about my sports teams, it's not, hey, this is a great thing that's going on with my team. Hey, I want to tell you about a guy that nationally may not be known, but he's playing really well for the Milwaukee Brewers. No. I tell you about, well, you won't believe how they lost this time. And St. Louis, the Blues, had one of those games. Third period, they gave up a couple of goals at the two-minute mark, under the two-minute mark, including one with 1.3 seconds left on the clock. Played a full overtime, nothing. Played a second overtime. And that's when Winnipeg was able to get their win. So Sunday, the weekend was interesting because the NHL games delivered in a way where the NBA games, maybe for a game seven, did not. But I thought Sunday was particularly interesting from the home fan perspective in each game. With the Winnipeg Jets, you're in a game where you think you are going to lose. You're at home. It's game seven. You're at home. It's 3-1. You're giving up. There's 2 minutes left. You pop a goal. You're like, wow, okay, that'd be cool. Oh, then it really happens. And then you buoy that into the overtime period, try to keep your stamina, get to a second overtime period. What turned into, man, should we leave early? It's 3-1. Beat the traffic. You end up being at the arena for another hour, hour and a half, and you watch your team win in a game seven. That's cool. Meanwhile, if you're a Rockets fan, and I thought a lot, see, sometimes we'll have people that call in. Like earlier I said, when I'm watching Mikal Bridges now, I'm thinking of Mark in California because he's been hard on him. And there was a fan we had from Houston call in that you could hear it in his voice. He was so excited that finally, the Rockets were going to get past the Warriors. For the last 12 years, anytime the Rockets had a run that was worth something, who would get in their way? The 2015 Rockets get to the conference finals, lose to Golden State. The 2018 Rockets get to the conference finals, lose a game seven to Golden State. The following year, 2019, okay, we're going to do it now. No, you're losing the semis to Golden State. And it's been a few years. They've had coaching changes. They've sort of retooled the whole team. But now they have a different version. And the Warriors team, yes, Kerr's there and Curry's there and Draymond's there. It's a different team, but it's enough that we can get our revenge on those guys. We can get our moment. They go down 3-1. When the Warriors were up 3-1 to the finals in the Cavs, they lost. So Warriors 3-1 lead, many jokes. And now you get to beat them in that way. Oh, that's the worst way to beat them. And then you have a game seven at home and you lay a dud. And you lay a dud and you lose again to the team you've been losing to. And that whole fourth quarter, really the whole second half, you won't hear as quiet as a gym in a game seven as you did on Sunday night. And I get it. I'm not critiquing. I get it. There was nothing to cheer for. And it was a pain and a heartbreak that you felt maybe you could get over. And it was 6 years since you last played them in the postseason. So you may have forgotten just how much you hated playing the team. Or you may have gotten your kid into it at the time, or a spouse, or somebody that didn't really know the history. And now they have to experience what you were experiencing. And you were a 2 seed this time, and they were a 7. And you've retooled, and they're falling apart. But they got you. They got you. So, wild weekend. Some game sevens that delivered. Some game sevens that proved to be very painful for the teams that lost them. So, a refresh in the NHL. We have got one game in the books in terms of the second round. The Maple Leafs beating the Panthers tonight. We've got 3 series yet to get underway. In the NBA, we do have this game going on now, the Thunder and the Nuggets. We've got the Cavs down 1-0 as the 1 seed. We've got the Celtics down 1-0 as the 2 seed. And then we'll have a game tomorrow between Golden State and Minnesota. This series going to be in Minnesota. We thought maybe we would get Warriors, Lakers, right? That's the big money. That's the big show. Steph and LeBron, LA and Golden State. That's the big show. But what we are going to get in this Timberwolves and Warriors series is a series that is like 15 years in the making, okay? There's so many things that are connecting these teams, and to have them now face each other is pretty interesting. Steph Curry, as we know, passed over twice by the Timberwolves in the 2009 NBA draft. Yeah, the Timberwolves had a couple of opportunities to get him, and they drafted Ricky Rubio at 5, and they got Johnny Flynn at 6. And Steph Curry was sitting right there. So of the Rubio, and I loved Rubio. Rubio was like 17 years old when he was killing it for Spain. But Rubio, Johnny Flynn, and Steph Curry, of the three, they picked Rubio and Johnny Flynn, who was only with them for a handful of years before he had a 5-year run in the NBA. And Steph Curry, as we know, is still playing. So there's that connects these teams. There's the 2020 draft. Wolves had the number one pick. Warriors had the number two pick. Who are the Wolves going to take? Well, they took Anthony Edwards. Warriors took James Wiseman. What if things had gone differently? What if Wiseman goes to the Timberwolves and then the Warriors get Anthony Edwards, my lord? There's that to connect. Jimmy Butler. Hey, what does he do? He breaks up with teams and he leaves a mess in their wake. I called Aaron Rodgers the monorail salesman from The Simpsons, where he goes town to town, sells you a bill of goods. It's pretty great for a while. Monorail crashes. He leaves. Your town is in ruin because you sunk everything into this guy. Well, Jimmy Butler is the NBA equivalent of that. When he comes to start, it's good. When he gets to your town, it's good. The Warriors, they're feeling that right now. But he left the Timberwolves in an ugly way. And that was back in 2018. And now he's returning, not just as a player of an opposing team. He's done that plenty of times, but in a playoff series. And then there's the one time Draymond Green decided to choke Rudy Gobert out of nowhere. So there's a lot going on in this series. There's a lot to pay attention to. Very eager to see that one get fired up tomorrow night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Billy Ray, Oceanside. Billy.
How we living, Bob?
Good. I thought you were snoring at first. What's that noise?
Oh, man, my car's rumbling. I'm heading over to see a biddy. You know Billy Ray always busy with the women.
Oh, okay, well, you better get that car fixed.
I hear you, man. I'm getting the brakes checked tomorrow. Anywho.
All right, good. I hope it lasts that long.
Let's talk about the weekend, Bob. Let's talk about the weekend. First of all, you played the ponies?
Talk about it with me.
You played the ponies at all on Saturday?
No, I didn't. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm talking about these things that, you know, maybe 8 million people watch the NBA games, maybe 4 million watch the NHL games. 22 million people were watching the Kentucky Derby. I didn't get into it. Nobody I know gets into it. I don't know where in this country people are watching this thing, but it has not influenced my life at all.
Let me tell you something, Bart. I don't watch a darn thing neither. The only time I've seen it was when I was 22 and 23 years old. I actually went to Louisville and I watched the race, but I gotta be honest, I only saw one horse. Billy Ray don't remember much of that weekend, but it was a good time.
yeah. All right, that's good. What's up?
Onto the next part of the weekend before we get to the nitty gritty, how was the 2-2 on the field? Did you win that game 7-0 again, coach of the year?
No, we got whooped like 10-3.
It's always good for the young ones to learn how to take a whooping.
Yeah, they definitely took a whooping.
But how did you feel? I can hear your ego sound bruised, Bart.
Well, I'll tell you about a specific thing that happened in this game. So these kids are 5-6 years old. They had one kid who scored a goal and then like hit a pose, like he was Ronaldo, and that really pissed me off. And then the other team had a kid that's really good. Like, he's faster than anybody. If he touches the ball, he's going to go score. He was incredible. And so, you know, you just have to kind of give it up for that. One of his teammates, after he had scored like the fifth time and this teammate did nothing, he goes, "Man, this is so easy." And I look at this kid, I go, "You knock it off. You ain't doing." And I said, "You ain't, you know, I swore to him."
I hear you, Bart. You spoke to him like a coach spoke to speak to a player on the team.
And he's not my player, but I'm still the coach out there.
That's right. And you're doing the right thing. It's always better to do the right thing than to be right. Listen to that, listeners. It's always better to do the right thing than to be right.
Yeah, now, I like that.
Hey, so listen, sounds like that kid might think he a franchise player. With that said, I'm going to ask you one question. Give me a take, and I'll let you run do your thing, Bart. If you had to start a franchise today, my friend, would you take Victor Wembanyama, or would you start with your boy Giannis? Tell me what's up. I'm going to hang up, let you do your thing, Bart. It's always a pleasure, man. You my Wonder Bread. People, listen, I call him Wonder Bread because he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he is white. Don't forget it.
He is white. All right, Bart.
Have a good night.
Yeah, very much so. No, you've got to start a franchise with Wemby over Giannis at this point. He's 10 years younger. Now, will they pair up? I don't know. Giannis had an intriguing Instagram post over the weekend. I can get into at some point because that's where we're at now. It's the off season, so we get to dissect Instagram post. There was a time, folks, when we didn't have to follow all these guys on social media, and we didn't have to see the eye double look emoji and lead newscast with it. But that time is gone. This is the hell we live in now, and we must adapt or we will all die. Anyway, here's Robert in Annapolis. Robert.
Hey, voices. Thanks for taking my call. Let's get to it. Let's talk about first-round playoffs. Let's see, NBA, we had 8 series. Really only 2 could even be remotely considered competitive. And then when they got to the 7th game, neither game was really competitive. One was like a 20-point blowout. The other one, not much intrigue, a little closer. And then in the NHL, in their 2 7th game deciding games, you had one team come in the last period from down 2 goals to win at home, and then you had the other team down 2 goals with, what, two minutes left maybe?
2 minutes.
And then 1 goal down with, like, 2 seconds left, and then they tie it up and go into overtime and double overtime and win at home, and you see those arenas explode. That's what playoff professional sports should be. That's what it's all about. So let me ask you this. You're the NBA guy. Why don't you grade the first round of the NBA playoffs? What grade would you give that in terms of entertainment value? And do you think that first round should be 5 games instead of 7 games? You've talked about baseball. You don't like that format.
No, 7.
Really?
You got to go 7. Yeah.
Well, I know the money. I know
5.
Because of the money. I know all the revenue thing. But it's not competitive. Nothing changes. The 2 teams that won the games 7 would have won in with the 5-game format as well. And half of those teams don't have a prayer.
If you want to make a change, the change would be, I don't know, get rid of seeds 7 and 8. But the Warriors were a 7. They won. And you can't have a bye. It's fine. Look, this NHL versus NBA argument of hockey
it's
is
not an
more...
argument. It's not an what? Argument. It's a comparison of what the entertainment value is. I understand you're an NBA guy. I'm not criticizing you for being an NBA guy. That's fine. But in terms of
the nature of hockey value, is going to make the games more competitive than the NBA games are when the teams have a skill difference between them.
But the point is, as a sport, the NHL, the playoffs have intrigue. They have suspense. The NBA has very little suspense.
You got a 6 seed about to play a 7 seed this week.
Other than the 3 teams we've mentioned before, who possibly is going to get in that final matchup in the NBA?
The Pacers and the Knicks both won on the road to go up 1-0.
The Pacers in the final. Boy, would that be your worst nightmare. Anyhow, I'm not criticizing those who like the NBA. That's fine. I used to love it myself. But in terms of entertainment value, when you watch a hockey playoff game, you are on the edge of your seat for most of that game as the action moves. In the NBA, you turn the channel at halftime. I mean, you just do. But anyhow, thanks for letting me vent on that.
All right.
Thank you.
What's the outcome that you desire? Yeah. When it's game seven and you go to overtime and first goal wins, that's going to be a lot more entertaining and suspenseful than a 20-point win in the NBA. I mean, you're comparing a sport where there's 200 points a game compared to a sport where there's 5 points scored in a game. Goals are more at a premium. It's a bigger deal. And in basketball, the better team will typically win. I would not change the format at all. 7-7-7-7. It should be the same every series. And baseball needs to get a clue as well. 888-710-4ISN. We'll come back. Again, some of these teams that got bounced, what's next? Are the Clippers going to try to do this thing with James Harden again? Are the Rockets in a good spot to build for the future, or was this a missed opportunity? Get into all that and more. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
I've got a hypothetical for you, for the general public. Let's say there was a business conference that was going on in your profession, and tickets cost $300 to get into to watch different panels and interviews, etc. And then let's say the person that was putting on this conference asked you if you were in the area, if you wanted to drop by.
Hey, Bart.
Do you think that means free admission, or does that mean I think I get free admission and then when I show up, I get charged $300? Discuss amongst yourselves. James Harden, game seven, not good. Another tough outing for him as the Clippers fell to the Nuggets, that game being on Saturday night. It's become a very memeable thing that occurs. If there's a game seven, James Harden is not going to give you his best effort despite being one of the better regular season players that we've had since the turn of the century. In this game that they lost, 120-101, he had 35 minutes of action, was just 2-for-8, 1-of-4 from 3. Couple of turnovers. Did have 13 assists, but only 7 points. Now, his game seven struggles have kind of gone back a few years. 3-3 all-time in game sevens. He averages 21 points, shoots only 36%. The last few have been real rough. When a member of the Sixers at Boston, he had just 9 points, 3 of 11 shooting. With the Nets against Milwaukee, he had 22 points on 5 of 17 shooting. So a lot of trips to the line there. Against the Thunder as a member of the Rockets, 17 points, 4 of 15 shooting. The most he's ever scored in a game 7 was against the Golden State Warriors. And that was a 32-point effort. But he had a bunch of turnovers and a really bad fourth quarter, and he had a lot of those points in like garbage time. So bad in game 7s, James Harden. Also bad in elimination games in general. With the Clippers in 2024, a game 6 loss to the Mavs, he was 5 of 16 shooting. with the Rockets in game 5 against the Warriors. He was 2 of 11 shooting, had 12 turnovers. Another time with the Rockets against the Spurs, 6 turnovers, 2 of 11. Not every game has been bad, but his elimination track record is, it's not on the good side. There's a difference between the James Harden that you seem to get in the playoffs, or the regular season, I should say. There's even a difference between the James Harden that you get in games 1 through 4 than the James Harden you get in games 5 through 7. So what's next? Is this going to be an experience that the Clippers, who had health, they were kind of not being talked about? I thought, hey, I kind of like the Clippers to not only beat the Nuggets, but have a little bit of a run here. Foolish me. So what's next? What's next for L.A.? They've got a pick that's going to get swapped for Oklahoma City, so they'll have a late first-round pick. They do have Minnesota's second-round pick, so they got a couple of picks in this draft. They don't have any cap room. Harden is going to need to lock into his $36 million player option. Now, what they do with that, he's locked into player options before, like with the Sixers, and said, okay, let's trade me. But it seems like he's comfortable in L.A. It seems like L.A. wants to. It seems like that's a relationship on both sides that wants to continue. I mean, you're going to have James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. That still is worth something. Even without Paul George, it still should be worth something. They've got some free agents they'll lose. You know, Amir Coffey, maybe Nick Batum, Patty Mills. This isn't gonna crumble the feelings of the Intuit Dome. They need a big guy, maybe another wing guy, and they still want to maintain cap for that next summer. So I don't know what they do, and a lot of it's going to hinge on what James Harden wants to do. I can't get a good read on what the Clippers want to do. Lawrence Frank today, he's their GM, was asked about if you've given thought to Kawhi and or James Harden, if they're going to be on the roster. He says, I haven't given it any thought, but I'm respectful of the fact that James has a player option. So Lawrence Frank says he has not given it any thought about the future of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I know that he's lying, because if that's true, you need to fire this man on the spot. If he hasn't given any thought to the future, you need to find somebody who will. So that's what they're telling you. I don't know what kind of stock to take and what you're getting from the Clippers front office at this point. Alec is in Bloomington, Illinois. What's up, Alec?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's up with you?
Hey, I'm normally not a caller, man. I'm just a listener, but I got pretty irked by the caller right before the break talking about how first round of the NBA playoffs was just, what did he say, melancholy, whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah, look, Robert's thought has been that in the NHL, it's more of a, not a crapshoot, but there's more uncertainty. In the NBA, you can kind of say, all right, we know who the teams are that are going to be in the Final Four, and sometimes even in the final, all of this is just a waste of time, is kind of where he's been.
Sure, and look at that. He's right about the Jets game last night. I mean, that's a 1-4. That's the President's Cup, right, winner. Going to a game 7, down 2 goals, like in the third period, right? So I get what he's saying, but I truly don't know if he's really following the NBA as closely as he was watching the first round of the NHL, because, listen, that round one NBA playoffs we had was phenomenal. I mean, like you said, we got a 6-7. Young superstars are showing out, right? You've got Ant beating LeBron, beating Luka, right? You've got SGA just clearing through round one. You've got Halliburton looking good, right? I mean, all the young guys are showing out. And sure, you only had 2 game 7s, right? One of those game 7s had arguably the greatest shooter of all time playing in it. That was kind of nice. So I just don't understand, man. I think he's just going to be one of those guys that's just going to think negatively about the NBA. And if you're a true NBA fan, you know we had some tasty treats in round one. And that's just what I thought. I mean, I caught a little bit of every single game.
Yeah.
There's basketball on every night. It was delightful. It was great, man. I loved it.
Yeah, and I think, and appreciate the call, and thanks for picking up the phone. I think this second round, see, because the first round, I don't know that there needs to be eight teams in each conference. We don't need the play-in tournament. We didn't need the Grizzlies in here. We didn't need the Heat. We did not need the Heat. We didn't need the Magic. But there were series, even Pacers, Bucks had a little bit of something to it, despite that ending in five. Knicks, Pistons was a really good, entertaining series. Lakers bowed out sooner than we thought they would. But now what you have here is a Thunder and a Nuggets series, which you know is going to be intense. Thunder with a five-point lead going into the fourth quarter here. Timbers, Warriors, there's so many backstories and so many connections and so many different angles. And Anthony Edwards has knocked out guys in the playoffs. He just knocked out LeBron. Last year he knocked out Luka. He knocked out KD. So he's becoming a legend killer. You see Randy Orton's tweet? He had a tweet where he like put the like an AI thing. He put like a legend killer necklace over Anthony Edwards. So he's involved. So that's going to be a great series. And then
awesome.
In the East, you've got the two teams that are the road underdogs. They've already gotten a win, and they're both up 1-0 in the series. So, yes, in the first round of the NBA, if we're looking at 1-8 matchups, and mainly 2-7s, although we had a 2-7 go 7. But this series could be interesting. Cavs and Thunder, they ran away with the regular season. I still think that's the most likely, but now with the Cavs being a little injured, I don't know. That's certainly worth watching it play out is where I come from, and that's why I'm as into it as I am. And I'm not taking anything away from the NHL either. I mean, what you got over the weekend was incredible. For Winnipeg to come back, score two goals in the final 2 minutes, including with a second point three on the clock. I mean, those fans are ready to go home and cry in what euphoria. So, does not need to be NBA versus NHL, and it won't be around these parts. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. One NHL game tonight. The Maple Leafs outlasting a late effort from the Panthers. So Toronto goes up 5-4. That's the final. They go up 1-0 in the series. And the New York Knicks, down 20 at one point to the Celtics, charge back, take the game to overtime, and win 108-105 over the Celtics in Boston. Right now you've got a contest between the Thunder and the Nuggets, which the Thunder have a 100-90 lead with 8.5 to go. Thunder have looked the part for much of this game. Nuggets hanging around, though. Nuggets are hanging around here. Things could have gotten a little haywire for them a few times, but Denver hanging around. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Talking about these playoffs from a micro and a little bit of a macro way as well, your enjoyment of them so far. Russ is in Boise. What's up, Russ?
Hello, Bert. How are you?
I'm good, Russ. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just a quick note. You're one of my top four best sports talk guys I listen to on a weekly basis.
Should I ask the other ones, or should I just say thank you?
No, you can ask. It's all right, right?
I'm going to leave it to my imagination.
All right, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Listen, thanks very much again. I enjoy your show very much, and everything that you do is very funny, and your sports influence is very important. I just wanted to talk quickly about the fact that when you weigh things against the NHL playoffs and you weigh things against the NBA playoffs, I understand that the influence of the American public will go towards the NBA playoffs, but there is, I can't explain how hard it is to get through the NHL playoffs. So we all know that, and it's hard to get through the NHL or the NBA playoffs as well. But at the same time, if you get to a game six in an NHL playoff game and you're behind and you come back and you win that game, guess what you, your wife, and your children are doing to go to game seven? They're all going to the parents' house and all the boys are coming over and it's hell on earth. It is a hard thing to win an NHL Stanley Cup. But at the same time, I understand that how much of the American public likes, and I'm part of it, the NBA playoffs. But it's just harder to do it through the NHL.
Yeah, look. Yeah, Russ, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I'm not trying to make a comparison. This is, again, the great influence that Robert has as a caller, why he is very good.
Hey, voices.
And what he does. You know, the NBA for me is the sport that I've been more connected to over my life, but the NHL, I totally get it. I totally get it. And it feels like, and I don't know how you are with this, Carlos, but it feels like the NHL, I couldn't imagine, as stressful as it's been as a fan, in all these situations that I feel like I've been stressed out as a fan, I couldn't imagine being a Blues fan or a Winnipeg Jets fan the other night when they were in overtime, because sure, I've seen overtimes before and even like, you know, the ninth inning of a baseball game or whatever, but NHL hockey overtimes, it just feels so like you got no control. I mean, you have no control anyway. But the players barely have control. One weird bounce, one weird anything, and the game can just end. And so I was like watching the Warriors-Rockets game end last night, and I would go over to see the score, but it gives me like anxiety watching a game that I don't even have a connection to the two teams in.
Yeah, it is really nerve-wracking. I tell you, I've had an opportunity finally to go to all four sports postseasons. And hockey was the one that was like really the most electric because of what you said. Like the game can change on a fluky instance. So yeah, I mean, thank God I wasn't a Jets or a Blues fan, because like it's hard to live through that kind of stuff.
Oh, it was just crazy, and it can just bounce and end so wild. So who refresh me? Who is like supposed to? Because we know we can say in the NBA who's supposed to. Who is supposed to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Yeah, so it's you would imagine it would probably be somebody coming from the West, because the East is really the Capitals and nobody else. Like, if Washington were to lose the Eastern Conference, that'd be pretty shocking. For the West, I mean, the Avalanche were good. The Stars were the most balanced team I've been seeing for the last couple of months. The Winnipeg has almost gone wire to wire. They win the President's Cup. I would probably go right now with the Dallas Stars just on their balance, but it's whoever comes out of the West is got to be your favorite. Like, no disrespect to the Capitals, who've had an amazing season. Like, the Eastern Conference has been pretty light. I would say it's the Stars and the Jets in that order.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I'm rooting for the Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, they got amazing players too. You know, Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, everybody knows. So, you know, there are no slouches. I think people kind of slept on them a little bit this year, but you know, they're still good.
I would like to see a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup.
Toronto's got a good shot.
It's been since '94.
Yeah,
and I want to see it. I wanted to see it. I said that last year. So the same reasons why I said it this time last year are the same reasons. There's no other influence outside, is what I'm trying to say. And I do feel like, you know, even if you're a Canadian fan or in Canada, I think because there's a lot of those. But maybe I don't know. Maybe this is what I don't know about enough about. Like if Winnipeg's there or if Edmonton's there or if Toronto's there, is this national pride that Canada has, is it good enough to root for what may be a rival to win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, if it's Toronto, the answer's no. If it's anybody else, I think Canada will get behind a team. There's a lot of people that do not want Toronto to win. But that might be your best chance if you're looking for a Canadian team to finally win. You need Toronto to win the East and then either Edmonton or Winnipeg to come out of the West.
Yeah, because, I mean, we can all get excited. That's what's weird. Sometimes when I'm, like, watching the Olympics with some people and we're, like, all rooting on the USA, I do look at some of them like, I wonder if he's a Bears fan. Why are we rooting for the same thing? I don't like this. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable being on the same team as this guy, you know? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Plenty to get into, including the least shocking kicker release of all time. When we come back, it is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.